Okay, who's heard someone say, that's not fair, in the past week or two? Raise your hand. Who's used that phrase, that's not fair, in the past week or two? Raise your hand. Sunday school, I hope that you all are raising your hands after church, after Sunday school this morning. It's not fair, or it ain't fair, depending on how you say it. That's what we learn to say when we're still pretty young. It's not fair. Usually, by the time we're not much more than three or four, we have our own innate sense of right and wrong, of fair and unfair. But we also get that sense challenged way too many times, and we don't like it. We want the world to play fair. Who wants the world to play fair? Right? And by your rules, obviously. We want people to be nice and play by the rules. We want everyone to get what they deserve, don't we? That would be great if everyone got what they deserved, at least by our standards. So what do you say to someone when they play that's not fair card? What do you say to your kids when they say it? Do you say something like, well, you know what? Life's not fair, right? Never has been and never will. Some get more things than others. Some have more friends than others. Some have more money than others. Some get to stay up later than you do, and so on. Of course, I don't like it one bit when the tables are turned on me and my sense of fairness gets called into question. Then I don't like it one bit. Do you? Life isn't fair, is it? We know it, but we don't like it. We see good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. We know some people who work hard every day of their life and never seem to get anywhere, while other people make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year doing what looks pretty much like nothing. Isn't that the story of everyone's boss? They make so much more money than you and they do so much less. It's just not fair. Some people we know are physically fit and look after themselves, and they just up and drop dead, while others who abuse themselves live to be 95. Some people we know who are the sweetest and most helpful people in the world just seem to have lives that are always filled with trouble, while absolute dirtbags have nothing but sunshine and rainbows their whole life long. So many things in life just aren't fair, never have been, and never will be. That's why we so deeply want a God who is fair, a God who can be trusted to only and always do the right thing, a God who promises to right the wrongs, who promises to even up the score, a God who makes true the old saying, what you sow, you shall reap. Who makes true the expression, what goes around comes around. Now, can I get an amen on that one? Isn't that the God we want? We want a God who's fair, but we want a God who's fair or more fair to us than to others, right? I want to be more fairly treated by God than all the rest of you because, darn it, I deserve it. That's the truth of it. We want to believe in a God who's fair, yet when Jesus tells us the story of the workers in the vineyard to show us what the kingdom of God is like, we get all up in arms. Now, who didn't get all up in arms hearing this parable, if you really listen to it? Why does this story, more than maybe any other parable that Jesus tells, rub us the wrong way and get our sense of fairness all knocked out of kilter? Why are we all for fairness until we think someone else was treated more fairly than we were? I don't like this parable. I don't like this parable one bit. You know the parable. A man goes to town early in the morning and hires workers at the usual rate of pay for a day's work. And because of the need for more workers, he continues to go into town throughout the day to hire more workers, telling each one of them that he would pay them what was fair at the end of the day. Fair. And what happens? Well, it just ain't fair, is it? At the end of the long, hot work day, the owner pays those who were hired last, the ones who work for maybe an hour first, and gives them a whole day's wages. The wages he pays those who work only 1 or 3 hours is the same wage he pays those guys who have to work 12 solid hours. It just isn't fair, I tell you. It just ain't fair. Why do those hired first ones get their nose out of joint? Didn't they get what they deserve, though? Didn't they get the wage that they agreed to, a day's wages for a day's work? They weren't cheated, but they grumble. The ones who were hired last worked for only 1 hour, they say, but you paid them the same that you paid us. And we worked all day in the hot sun. As if the story itself isn't bad enough, as if the story itself doesn't just prove one more time how unfair the world is, Jesus has to go and add insult to injury by summing it all up with, everyone who is first will be last, and everyone who is last will be first. I don't like this one bit. Do you? Of course, that's because I happen to identify with those hired first in the morning, don't you? We get the point of the parable. We responded when God called us. We didn't put things off until the final hour. We've been here all along doing what Jesus expects us to be doing, right? Haven't we? We have every right to think that landowner is unfair. Think about it for a minute. Doesn't our whole country run on the notion of a day's pay for a day's work or equal pay for equal work? And here goes Jesus telling a story that turns upside down all that we hold dear. Should those who work just 2 hours or 1 hour get the same pay as someone who works 12 hours? It ain't fair. It just isn't fair. The kingdom of God is like a man who went out to hire some workers for his vineyard. And when the day ended, he paid those hired last the same as he paid those hired first. Equal pay for unequal work. This parable sets a bad precedent. It sets a very bad precedent, and I don't like it. But Jesus is all about setting bad precedents, isn't he? Like eating with tax collectors and prostitutes and criminals and healing people on the Sabbath and telling sinners that they're forgiven just because they have faith in him. Then again, why would we expect Jesus to know any better? I mean, after all, isn't it Jesus who reminded us that his Father sends the rain on the just and the unjust? And he sets the sun to shine on both the righteous and the unrighteous? It just isn't fair. Why should those who get 2 easy hours of work in the cool of the evening get the same pay as those who toiled for 12 hours in the hot sun? It isn't fair, I tell you. I read in one of my preacher magazines once this quote, "Stop looking for a fair God and be thankful for the God you got." Try that on for size for a minute. Stop looking for a fair God and be thankful for the one you got. Does that sit well with you? Do you side with the laborers who worked all day and received what they agreed upon? Or do you side with the ones who were hired late in the day and received what they couldn't possibly have earned? And while we're on the subject of fairness, think about the Gospels. Do you side with the oldest son who worked hard and didn't squander his inheritance? Or do you side with the younger prodigal son who was welcomed home by his father, regardless of how foolish and wasteful he was? Do you side with those 99 sheep who remained where they should, right by the shepherd? Or do you side with the one who left, who got good and lost and had to be rescued? Do you side with the woman caught in adultery or with the crowd who was looking to stone her for her sins? Do you side with the Pharisees who looked down on Jesus' friends and dinner companions, calling them sinners and losers? Or do you thank God for God's amazing grace and mercy freely given to even the least and the most undeserving of us? All the laborers in the vineyard received a day's wages. the agreed-upon wages, no matter how little or how hard they worked. Each one received what they needed for them and for their families to survive one more day. Because that was the reality of the life of a laborer in Jesus' time. Work each day and earn a day's wages or starve to death. No work, no pay. No pay, no food. No food, life ends. For those who were still looking for employment as the day went on, they had to be getting pretty desperate. And very likely, there was something wrong with them that made them unemployable. Maybe sick, maybe a little too fond of drink, maybe a work-ending injury. Maybe they were just bad employees. Who knows? What matters is that they and their families would not be eating that day by the time afternoon came on. Fairness was not going to give them a job. Fairness was not going to feed their families and keep the wolf away from the door. Are you still looking for a fair God? Or are you thankful for the one you got? Or does that still irk you a little bit? Think about it. What's not fair about this story? The ones who worked all day got exactly what they contracted for, a day's wages. Is it their business what the landowner gives to the ones who only worked 1 hour? My brothers and sisters in Christ, hasn't our Father given us what we need? Haven't we all been freely given mercy and grace and forgiveness? Then what does it matter what God chooses to give to the guy next door? Is it any of our business? For those of you in Sunday school this morning, are you starting to hear those echoes of our lesson where we talked about faith and belief? In God's kingdom, we all have enough. No matter the work expended, in God's kingdom, we all enjoy the benefits of God's blessings, whether we are good or whether we are bad. In God's kingdom, we all get another and another and another chance. In God's kingdom, the door is always open for us, even for us foolish and prodigal ones. Stop looking for a fair God and be thankful for the God you got. Does it trouble you to discover that about our God? I hope not, because here's the truth about ourselves. Sometimes we don't pull our weight. Sometimes we don't do our share of the work. Sometimes we are a far cry from righteous. Sometimes we're more bad than good. And sometimes we squander God's blessings and live way beyond our means. Sometimes we think better of ourselves than we should. And oftentimes we believe that deep down inside we deserve God's grace more than we need God's forgiveness. Now that's a hard thing to get your heads around when we force ourselves and expect others to live within a system based on fairness instead of mercy, instead of seeing things from the point of view of the God who loves us so much that he allows the rain to fall on the deserving and on the undeserving. We are all God's children. We all need God's love and mercy and forgiveness and peace. We all need a day's wages to live. Even if some days we can't quite live up to that job description and we can't quite function like model workers. And there are many and will be many days to come like that in our life ahead. Now that's something to be grateful for. So live out of that gratitude for God's mercy and God's forgiveness for even the worst and the least of us. Live out that gratitude in your daily lives. Amen.